David Pogue is with us on the line. David, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, my pleasure.
It's always great to talk to you. David, you've been, you know, we always think you're like, guy, you're a busy guy. You do the column, you do the books. It's like not enough for you.
Not enough. And now a TV series.
tell us about this show.
Sure. It's called It's All Geek to Me, and it's on the Science Channel every Friday. Well, actually, they debut every Friday night at 8, but then they rerun endlessly all weekend. I think they only have this and one other show on that.
Yeah.
And, and then what's really cool is in June it's going to start airing on Discovery HD in high definition.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be able to see the pores on my pores.
The pores on your pores. Don't you just love that? What was the decision to put this together?
You know, I do these funny little web videos for the New York Times website every week,
yeah.
And they're little technology 3-minute goofball reports. And the New York Times had a joint venture with Discovery, the megalithic 17-channel network of networks, and it was called Discovery Times. And so the Times people said, hey, maybe we could get this guy Pogue to do something for us, and they sort of expand that idea. And that is in fact what happened. I sort of envisioned sort of a cooking show without the food,
you
know, like that's the format.
And like a car show without the cars.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, there's 1,000 cooking how-to shows. There's 1,000 home improvement how-to shows. There is nothing on technology.
You're
nothing.
Right. You're right.
So I pitched it, and they liked it. And so, you know, that was like 2 years ago. And since that time, the New York Times pulled out of that joint venture, and my show got kicked around from one channel to another, and the director was fired, and it's like typical TV business, but it finally, you know, just on the basis of the idea and what we shot, it survived, and it started airing this very weekend, and it's pretty funny.
It is, and you kind of bring your brand of humor to the show, and you know, you have fun with it. Do you find that when the people are putting this together, producing it and everything, are they telling you, well, David, we need to dumb it down a little, or we need to make it a little more palpable for the end user? They're just saying, just go for it.
Yeah, you know, that really was an issue. The production company, who was great, they always exceeded to what I was asking for. They always agreed, but they didn't always understand what mm-hmm. I was asking for or why, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In terms of time, they would, you know, cut some what looked like irrelevant steps, and I would say, no, guys, you cannot do that. Or one thing that troubled us early on was just this whole idea of how do you film things happening on the computer screen without boring everybody silly. Everybody's really worried about that,
yeah.
You know, no one would ever tolerate watching a computer screen on TV. And I'm like, no, that's not a worry. You know, if they know that the goal is, you know, producing your own hardbound book of photos, they're going to want to see how you do it, you know. So in the end, we actually sat down and we filmed the screen, and it was totally fine because it's just brief shots.
Well, you know, it's not a half an hour of just that. You kind of cover everything and how technology applies to the user that makes them feel sometimes a little scared when they go into, you know, the retail big box stores.
Right. Well, exactly. The what Discovery wanted was sort of, we did a pilot that was scripted. It had actors.
Oh my!
And yeah, it was quite a. I mean, it was very, very goofy. It was much more like my Times web videos, but they said correctly, as it turned out, that I was, when I was saying prepared words, that I was much stiffer and less relaxed than when I'm ad-libbing.
Oh, yeah.
So they suggested that when we do the real show, that we not have scripts, that we're allowed to do reality bits. Like, you know, we go out on the street and set up a fake booth and ask people to complain about their digital cameras, and then we will suggest ways around the problem, shutter lag and low light and so on. So we do a lot of that. We do break out of the studio, but again, it's never scripted. It's never canned. It's all just reality.
And if you can get people to make better looking YouTube videos rather than shooting everything with their cell cams, that would be great.
Oh. That's the goal.
Now, so you cover what, camcorders? You cover cell phones? What are some of the other technologies you're looking at on the show?
Yeah, well, the first season is just 6 episodes. It's all very experimental. So this weekend, they air in pairs, right? So they're always shown back-to-back, 2 shows. So this weekend, you're going to see digital cameras and cell phones, and both of those are really good ones. And then We also have a traveling with laptops episode that, you know, working through all the different ways to get online and stuff like that. There's one just on iPods and their rivals, where we go into all the tips and tricks. Nobody knows about that. There's one on camcorders and video editing and YouTube.
Right.
And then there's one really weird one that I think is going to hit a lot of people where they live, that's just about rescuing old formats. So old film reels, floppy disks, slides, you know, how to get all that stuff into digital form and preserve them for the future.
A lot of people, you know, the 8mm films or even the VHS video, which has, what, a shelf life of, like, is it 12
milk.
Years, 15 years?
10.
Shelf life of milk.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, we really knocked ourselves out on that one. Like, it turns out for films, you don't have a lot of do-it-yourself options. They don't even make those mirror boxes anymore where you shine the projector into one side of this prism and it bounces out into your camcorder on the other side. But we found one on eBay, and we set it up on the show, and we tried it. And
how'd it come out?
It kind of works, but the problem is that film inks disappear at different rates, right? So the red is the last to go, which is why most people's old 8mm films look like they were all shot on Mars.
Yeah, they're very brown, and yeah.
So you can do that at home, or what a lot of people do is they just project it onto a screen and then film the screen with their camcorder, and you have the same problem. You don't get any color correction or cleanup. And then there's drugstores and department stores that offer transfer services, but again, they're basically just doing what we described. So if you really want it done right, you send it away to a lab that specializes in this stuff, and it's amazing. We went behind the scenes at one of these places and looked at the machines that they use.
Right.
It's like, imagine seven side-by-side Sub-Zero refrigerators. That's the equipment they use.
Oh, wow.
Massive stuff. And they color-correct scenes. They can set different color correction points within a single shot. And then when they replay it, the computer automates those gradual shifts. So even if it gets blurry or flashing or pulsing colors or whatever, they can correct that. And when it comes out, man, it's astounding.
That's kind of neat. I want to see that because I've got tons of that Super 8 stuff.
Yeah. Know? Well, it costs a lot, but it's really amazing.
Maybe I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, iPods, too. That's something that a lot of people, and we're hearing a lot about the iPhone, which is coming out the next month. Have you had a chance to take a look at that yet?
I have indeed. In fact, I think I'm the only one outside of Apple to spend any significant amount of time with the iPhone. I had an hour with it at the Macworld Expo. I mean, in the presence of Steve Jobs and Phil Schiller, I made calls and I tried all the features, and it's quite a revolutionary machine. I'm not convinced that it's going to be a great cell phone just because there's no keys to press, and sending text messages is sort of a pain without
keys.
Without keys. Although it does have on-screen keys and word prediction software that works really well, so it's not going to be horrible. It's just requires a real shift in your mind. But the other two aspects of it, the iPod and the web surfing, you know, the internet terminal aspect of it, are unbelievable. You have never had such a good experience with either of those two things in your hand, because those are things that lend themselves really well to the giant all-screen nature of this thing. It has no buttons.
Oh, wow.
So the entire screen is your web page, and the whole web page fits on it. So when you see a headline or something worth looking at, you do that thing that he showed where you put your two fingers, thumb and forefinger, on the screen and stretch them apart like you're unpinching, and it expands like it's on a piece of latex until you can read it. It's really neat.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Cool.
It is neat. Hey, are you familiar with a Palm Blazer as far as internet access?
Yeah, I sure am.
How does it compare to that? Because I've got a bunch of Palms.
Compared to the iPhone, the Palm Blazer or the BlackBerry's browser is like looking at the web through a keyhole. I mean, it's a teeny little screen. It's square. It's nowhere. You don't see the layout. It's not anything the same experience.
Okay.
Well, you know, that's kind of the cool thing about the show. Now, you've done six episodes, and we have to remember, Heroes only started with six episodes.
Hey, that's actually really encouraging.
This could be the next big thing, you know. I could certainly see this expanding. Do you see the need and the coverage ability for more products?
Yeah, we have a list of actually we made up a list of what came out to like 70 ideas, and they, you know, they've already told us that if the things go well and they order a second season, it would be, I believe, 20 more episodes.
Wow. Yeah.
But the funny thing about this TV thing, I mean, I've done a lot of TV. I won an Emmy for CBS News, but
there you go.
I've never had a series before, and it's a wacky world, man. And for example, you know what the ratings are determined by is these families who have a Nielsen box installed in their entertainment system. So.
Right.
I try to tell people, yeah, I hope you watch the show, but especially if you have a Nielsen box. Because nobody else matters. That's so frustrating to me.
Yeah.
Basically, you don't count unless you have a Nielsen box, and then you represent 75,000 households.
You know, that's why I've always wondered, because I do a TV segment on Tuesdays. It's on before 6 a.m., so it's not an unrated day part. So
oh.
I'm like, oh, man.
You want to hear something real funny? A guy I work with, his mother's like 90-some years old, just got a diary.
Oh, look at that. That's funny.
It's like, will she be representative?
Yeah, if I pay her $100, will she watch my show?
We need a campaign. David Pugh will pay you $100 to watch your show.
Allegedly.
It's all banked to me. That's what we're going to call it.
That's actually a great idea, man. I'll be the first person to, like, use Web 2.0 to further my
perfect.
TV career.
That is perfect. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing more episodes of this, as well as reading more books. What have you got in the works right now?
Well, the next one that I'm starting right now is iPhone, The Missing Manual, of
Good.
Course.
Yep.
And then this fall I'll be doing Mac OS X Leopard, The Missing Manual. That's the next one. And I just finished the Windows Vista, The Missing Manual, which came out in January.
It's a phenomenal book, too. Yeah,
yeah, I got to tell you, David, you actually you and your book saved my hide a few weeks ago, because I don't own a copy of Vista. I want to get it free. Okay. So I do some subcontracting. I got called out to work on a Vista machine, had never actually seen the interface before.
Oh.
He's
making me feel bad now.
But no. I read David's book cover to cover first.
Yeah.
And it beautiful. Help
how,
me out.
That's how like I learned you, how to do Flip 3D.
Yeah. So thank you, David.
Very wise. Thank you.
And that book is available now. Listeners should get that, especially if they're first-time users of Vista, or even people who feel that they've could be experts at it. Your book really will help a lot of people out with
that. And thank you. And your $100 check is on its way.
That's right. And Andy will be sending that. Andy.
All right, David, we want to get more information about the show. Is there a website address?
Yeah, there is. It's discovery.com/geek, as in it's all geek to me.
Very cool. Great talking to you again, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right, take care.